This is Promise Keepers, a podcast where we address the unspoken truth of spiritual warfare. We discuss how to turn anxiety into insurance, how to turn fear into perfect love. This truth has no effect on your external condition, but everything to do with your tomorrow condition. I'm your host, Madison Moore, and today my best friend, Alva Cole, will be sharing this truth alongside me. So as I mentioned earlier, I've always had a problem with anxiety. You know, I can't express this enough, just how anxious little things can make me. And, you know, then that makes me fall into a depression. And, you know, people might refer to this as a mental warfare. And, you know, you never feel like you're enough. It doesn't matter how many friends you have. It doesn't matter what your life looks like, how great it might look on the outside, you know, how many trips you take. It's just at the end of the day, when you lay down in your bed at night, you just feel alone. Even if there's roommates, you know, 10 steps away, whatever is going on mentally in my head, which just, it was never fulfilling. This feeling of depression and anxiety and feeling alone was a dangerous, dark, dark spot for me. And it wasn't until recently that I realized how bad it had gotten. I realized that I would lay in bed at night and even Google search, you know, will I go to heaven if I kill myself? And, you know, what did that look like for me? What did I actually want in this? And, you know, there was a night where it was just a lot of events, a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, and that was just it for me. You know, that was my last reason, and I just felt like I had no value in life. And it wasn't until that moment of trying to take my life that I realized just how dark my life had, you know, become in that moment. You know, my lifestyle, my drug addiction, my alcohol, needing to be out on Northgate every single weekend, you know, my friend choice, like nothing was fulfilling and nothing was fruitful. And I want to sit here and, you know, put the blame on everyone else, but those are my decisions. So let's dive a little deeper. Let's gain a little insight on all that unraveled February 18th, 2023, the night I decided I wanted to take my life. So this night takes place when I was still finding value in things that left me dissatisfied. I was too worried about my outlook on the world and wanting to fit that description of what college fun looks like. My best friend Alva, who's recently taken a love interest and is still in her honeymoon phase with her new boyfriend, she's basically hardly around anymore. I'm lucky if I see her at all in the day. I just really wanted one night. One night without her boyfriend Carl occupying her attention and a night to spend together with what I thought fit the description of fun at the time. Alva and I drank together a lot in her first semester of college. That is until Carl, her boyfriend, came around, and then her party life more so shifted into his. I thought it would be nice to revisit that time of our life and go to another frat party once again.
This event was something that me and Maddie had, like, talked about, like, a week in advance. There was even her talking to me about, like, hey, like, no matter what, like, you should still try and come. I want you here because, mind you, it is her senior year.
She ended up not coming that night. She had kind of approached me earlier that day about the idea of possibly splitting time with me and Carl, first half him, second half me, and, you know, I'd already had little faith. With how Carl is, that was probably not going to be a possibility because he does require her attention almost all the time. Here's a little insight from Alva so we can get her take on that.
It was probably around 11:45, closer to midnight, and I remember getting on my phone, texting Maddie while she was at this event, and I was just like, look, like, I can still come. Are y'all still there? Is it fun? I know it's late. I can even, like, come, you know, give you guys a ride home or whatever the situation was. And
I think in a sense when I read that, it was like, well, when you were kind of like, is it fun? I mean, I can still come. It was like, to me, I read that as like, I'll do it for you, if that makes sense. Like, it was wanting. Like, yeah, like you didn't want to.
And so that's where this night's burst of emotion began. Another night that I felt people didn't value me in the same ways that I valued them. A lot of times I felt like my relationships were a lot of take, 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 and no give. Like I'm always the mother hen or the rock in people's lives. I was there no matter what. The same energy wasn't reciprocated towards me a lot of times. I couldn't understand why my friends didn't want to spend that quality time with me the same way I wanted to with them. It made me feel like they thought their time might be better spent elsewhere. When I find out Alva will no longer be attending, I no longer have the desire to be there. I was with my friend Sid, but even most times I felt like she couldn't care less about my leave of absence. I decided to walk home. Full of confusion, doubt, anger, anxiety, I proceeded to call anyone and everyone. I call my boyfriend. He's never been the guy to empathize with anyone. He's more of an is-what-it-is kind of guy. Never has any reassurance, never has feedback. I call my best friend Adam. I tell him how I'm feeling, the same thing, except almost worse. We are two very dark-humored individuals, and that conversation was not beneficial for me at all. I call my best friend Caroline. She doesn't answer. I call again. She doesn't answer. I'm okay with this. She tends to have very fruitful conversations and depends on the Lord to use her for guidance and others. I used to shy away from this. I only wanted to hear what I was looking for, not what the Lord had intended for me. But nonetheless, I'm out of options, so I reach out again. No answer. I even call my old best friend, Kirsten. Now, this is my last reach in anything and everything. Events happened, drama occurred, and someone who was once my best friend of 6 years declined that call. I even texted, told her I really needed her. No answer. She understood my situation. She knew my thought process and the dark places it goes. We confided in each other for that reasoning. She had to know something was very wrong, but still no answer? How could someone just ignore that? I had never felt so alone.
She did. I had no idea she was going to walk home. She gets home. She does come upstairs. By this point, I had kind of like fallen asleep. So you came in. It was pretty late and you laid in my bed. And I remember we were just talking about Kirsten and the fact that like she wasn't really around anymore. And that Kirsten was someone that you went to and like talked about these struggles with because she was also able to like relate to you on that like personal mm-hmm. level.
So after coming inside and crying what seemed like for hours, outside my house sitting on the curb, after walking home from a party, calling anyone and everyone, I have a last attempt to revisit Alva and get any form of comfort or sign that everything was going to be okay. Tired and ready for bed, a long day, there wasn't much to that conversation, and that's okay. But at the time, I didn't want to burden her with my headspace. I felt dramatic. Like all these thoughts and emotions weren't valid and I just needed to calm down. By then, I had just had enough. I leave her room. I grab hydrocodone and Tramadol prescription from my medicine cabinet that I got as pain medication for a tooth problem. Unsure if half bottles would even be enough, I make my way upstairs to Abby's room. I take her entire brand new bottle of Advil PM. She doesn't even wake up to this. I'm not even trying to be quiet. I'm reaching for anybody to notice me. No one's waking up. That's it. I take every single pill in all three bottles. Realizing what I had just done, a sense of panic rushes over me. Was this necessary? Was I really done? Is my story over? I lie down on the couch, unsure of what would happen next. At this point, I'm freaking out. It didn't feel right, but also, like, what joy was I experiencing in life? I give one last attempt, but honestly, it's not even a full attempt. I could scream out and wake the girls, but instead, I just choose to call Alva on her phone.
And I'm a pretty heavy sleeper, and I mean, like, at this time, like, my phone was kind of, like, under my pillow from already, like, being up and down a couple of times, and I remember, I heard my phone ring. I remember answering it was you, and all Maddie had said in that was just Alva, and then hung up. There was like a half a second where I just like rolled over and I shut my eyes, and it was just this feeling. I was like, you gotta get up. And I remember walking downstairs and you were just crying. And I went up to you and the first thing and like the only thing that you said to me was, I think I need my stomach pumped. And then you put the blanket over your face. And like at this point it went from like crying like normal to like it was more of like a hysterical, like I could tell like it was something more than that. And so from that I was like, okay, there is something like really not right, because like it just everything was like a weird feeling. She was saying things I've never heard before. And so I go and I turn on our living room light, and from there I saw the Advil bottle, it just like clicked in that moment, like what had happened. And so then it was just like panic. Like I remember I looked at you and I kind of like yelled at you almost. I was just like, Maddie, like what the heck? Call 911. And it's just me awake at this point. I go back downstairs and I'm on the phone with 911 and they start giving me like things that I need to do for Maddie, like how I need to lay her, what I need to like make sure she's doing and all of these things. But I remember the lady told me that I needed to lay you on the ground a certain way, like the way I picked you up and stuff, but I couldn't do it by myself. In like all of those moments, it went from like by the time I got back downstairs, Maddie was still kind of crying, and then it was like whenever I was supposed to be focusing on just her breathing, it went from like you crying and freaking out to just like silence. And I think like that was like one of the harder parts for me, and was just to see you go from being at least like
responsive
to just, it was just lifeless. And it was like, yes, you were still breathing, but like I didn't know like how long like pills took to kick in, or like what was gonna happen to
you, or that abundance of them.
Yeah. And seeing you like that was probably like one of the scariest things. But I think the part that hit me like the worst was whenever the paramedics came in and they were doing like their own checks on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, no, she's good, she's doing this. But it was like, you weren't doing the things that he was saying that you were doing. You were just laying there. And it was just like, your eyes would twitch some kind of weird way. And it just wasn't you. And it didn't seem like anything that was like normal or what he was making it out to be. And I remember they were like, the ambulance showed up. There were like five guys in our house and they pulled the stretcher in and they picked you up like on the blanket that we had like pulled you down from. He was like, well, did anything happen that night? And so then thinking about the way that, like, I didn't show up, or the, like, frustration.
Yeah.
Because, like, but this was before I knew that you tried getting in contact with other people or that, like.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, shit, like, I should have gone. And I was like, I didn't answer. I didn't even go pick him up. Like, I had no, like, she walked home. And so I'm, like, telling them all of these, like, different things. And it's one thing he asked me was, did you ever think that she would do something like this? And I, like, straight up told him no, because it was just, like, no matter, like, the conversations we had had before, this was never something that I, like, could have pictured you doing.
So what now? How do we move past this? And are there even those answers? In what ways can Alva cope with something as traumatic as this? Is she doing okay after all of it? Let's find out.
And it's, like, when I go downstairs, it's, like, that's always, like, the first place I look and, like, it's just like a, like I relive it. I re-see everything. I think of the way that like they had like shoved the stretcher into our like little walkway at our house, and like the way that there were so many people there. And what's weird is like whenever you go through something like that, it's like it really sticks with you. It like feels like a movie moment, but you're sitting there, and like especially now I'm able to just think of things. Like it was like, of course, I can't pronounce the names, but I could tell you exactly where the two prescribed bottles were. I could tell you that whenever I found the Advil, it was sitting, like, on its side on our ottoman, kind of, like, shoved to the side. And, like, I remember the outfit you were wearing, exactly, like, what you looked like. And to give advice on how to get over that, I couldn't tell you. Like, there isn't a night that's gone by where I don't think about it.
I don't have to have it right all the time, but I also don't have to keep pretending that I do. Being vulnerable has allowed access to expose a light in me. After listening to another podcast one day, I came to terms with what salvation really looks like. I was acting the part, but not surrendering. I don't think I got saved on February 19th in what religion considers salvation, but I know that night I got saved. I've mishandled my depression and anxiety in the past. I've now learned and grown to where we are going to handle it right this time. I didn't truly understand the greatest gift given to me, and when I thought God was done with me, he showed up for a walk. Love conquered my broken heart. Being vulnerable and fully fixing my eyes on Jesus was the best decision I had ever made. It turned brokenness into healing. It was the only thing that was fulfilling my anxious heart. My continual walk with him is going to fix it all. I know it is. I met the real God for maybe the first time in my life on February 19th, 2023. Every step of our walk since has helped me grow faithfully, and I trust that he's got a plan. I didn't die that day for a reason. Alva was a part of his plan that day. God's not done with me yet, and I cannot wait to share the goodness he has in store and the ways he's moved in my life these past 2 months. The idea of discussing something like this for my podcast seemed really scary and honestly something I wasn't sure I wanted to do. But after lots of prayer and lots of self-evaluation, I just looked at myself and I thought, how selfish is it for me to sacrifice my own comfort at the cost of someone's soul? So if you're interested in continuing this walk with me and seeing how we can overcome depression and anxiety through Jesus, tune into agcj366.tamu.edu and listen for what comes next in Promise Keepers Episode 2.